This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Pony Stampede podcast. I am your host, Jordan Hoffeditz, to discuss the tough loss to TCU on Saturday afternoon. Was going to do something quick right after the game. Kind of felt like I needed to digest the game a little bit to avoid maybe some overreaction or even possibly some underreaction to it. I know everything online, Twitter, message boards, everything has been all over the place following that game. I think some of that is certainly understood. I think all of it is certainly understood from a fan base that certainly felt like a lot of things were heading in the right direction, and I think Saturday was maybe a tap back to reality of where things still currently are. I saw a really good post that pointed out the fact that while things are going better for SMU and things are headed in the right direction, TCU still had an 11-year head start on these things. They've been competing in the Big 12 for over a decade. They've been doing things, whether it's having the money, whether it's recruiting at a Power 5 level, for a long time. And even though SMU has been kind of pushing that envelope a little bit the last couple of years, the last handful of years, that's still a pretty big gap to overcome right off the bat. That being said, I do think there were a lot of things that were frustrating about Saturday's game. I think the offense was frustrating. Again, so many good things. That first opening drive of the game, they are just marching down the field. They're converting a couple third downs during it. I think you look at what that drive was and, you know, they come out, they win the toss, they want the ball. I really like that in this kind of situation to go out. You know, you get Preston rushes, Kamar rushes, first down. You know, you've got Kamar with a 7-yard run on 3rd and 3. You've got, you know, a really nice 21-yard pass to Jordan Hudson on a 2nd and 7 to keep the chains moving. You get Preston then with a 3rd and 4 with a 5-yard run to get you 1st and 10 at the 14, and you're feeling really good about things. And then, you know, things kind of start to turn. That first down play, you thought you had a big play, pass play to Jalen Knight, and it gets overturned on replay. But, you know, 2nd down, you get 9 yards. You're looking at 3rd and 1 from the 5. All of a sudden, you lose a yard. You're looking at 4th and 2 from the 6. I think it was the right choice to take the points. I think if you have that kind of drive and get absolutely nothing out of it, it hurts you a little too much there. But only getting 3 hurts you too. Defense comes out, gets a really nice stop for you. And then you have a 3 and out. Again, with a 3rd and 1 from your 11, incomplete pass. And then that's going to begin some of the 3rd down play calling questioning. You know, you just had Kamar rush for 4 yards, rush for 5 yards. On 3rd and 1, you throw the ball. And that's going to be a kind of consistent theme throughout looking at some of this. Obviously, you know, you're punting from your own 11. It's not one of Buchevsky's best punts. TCU starts the drive in plus territory. They get a touchdown. It's 7-3. You look at it again. SMU's next drive to start the 2nd quarter. Moving the ball. You get You know, you convert a second and two. You get a big run from Jalen on a first and 15 that resets the chains. You get a big run from Kamar Wheaton on a second and 6 that resets the chains. But then, you know, first down, you get a 3-yard gain on the run. Second and 7, it's a 5-yard pass that sets up third and 2. Unfortunately, Kamar slips on that one. Probably would have gotten the first down if he stays on his feet. He slips. You're looking at 4th and 2 from the 27 again. Do you kick the field goal? You're looking at 44 yards there. You're probably pushing Colin Rogers' range a little bit. You're also looking, you know, a lot of the decision-making going into that. You go for it. You run the ball, which I think was the right call. I'm not sure about the play design. Jalen Knighton loses 5 yards. TCU gets the ball back. They convert a 4th and 3 during the drive, and then they convert a 3rd and 6 right before the touchdown. And there you go. It's 14-3, and SMU's trying to play catch-up. They do get the nice touchdown on the next drive again. You know, you just look at what they were able to do. You know, it starts with that really big pass play to Roderick Daniels, which was huge. You had Preston with an 11-yard run, Levine with a 7-yard run, and then you have Preston, who runs a couple times to get you right there, and Kamar punches it in. 14-10 at halftime. I don't, you know, I said this on the live feed during the game. It was weird. It was a similar feeling to the Oklahoma game, but in a way you felt a little bit more positive because you felt like, man, if they could just tweak something here, tweak something there, they're right back in it. Instead, the third quarter's a just downright disaster. Long drive, hold them to field goal. They have two really long drives. You hold them to field goals on both. But offensively, you have a 35-second 3-and-out. And then on your other drive, it's not a 3-and-out, but it's pretty quick. Especially, you know, you had a 27-yard pass in there that got you into TCU territory. You go for it on 4th and 2, and it's a pass that gets broken up. Again, you seem to be running the ball pretty well, throwing it 4th and 2. I know you got to keep the defense on their toes, but the way this team looked to be running the ball, it seemed like that was maybe the way to go. Don't get it. TCU turns around. That time gets a touchdown, and the game is pretty much out of hand from there. You know, obviously a lot of stuff about the coaching staff, about the players. I don't think you throw everything out right now. I think that's a major overreaction to just one game. I think it is a reality check of where this team is. I think a lot of people had really high hopes for what this team could do this season. And again, rightfully so. And they can still do all of those things. Would going to Oklahoma or TCU and winning been really great? Of course, obviously. Was there an expectation realistically from the outside that that was going to happen? I don't think so. I feel like the TCU game was maybe more winnable going into it than the Oklahoma game was. But at the same time, I mean, you're not talking about the bottom of the Big 12 here. You're talking about a TCU team that, while we don't like it, played for the Big 12 championship a year ago, played for the national championship a year ago. And you're talking about an Oklahoma team that is in year two under a new coach and did a overhaul of their roster that was similar to SMU's, but was at a Power 5 level, was at an Oklahoma still kind of carries that blue blood tradition level where they're getting 4- and 5-star transfers coming in. So look, you're 2-2 going into conference play. You look at the conference schedule that you knew was very winnable coming into the season. I think looks even more so now. I think ECU, that you thought was maybe an interesting matchup early, maybe doesn't look so interesting. I think Temple, that you thought, well, maybe if they get some really good quarterback play from Kurt Warner's kid and this goes and that goes, I don't think that's going to be the case. So, I mean, you're looking at a schedule that opens up really nicely for you. And not only that, but also maybe gives you time to correct some of these issues as you go into maybe the one game on the conference slate that you might worry about, which is that late trip to Memphis there just before the end of the regular season. So, I mean, look, they're not going to fire the head coach midseason. They're not going to change play calling duties midseason. Those type of reactions are for if games are lost that absolutely should not have been lost. In no way, shape, or form was the TCU game a game that should not have been lost. Should it have been closer? Maybe. Should SMU have looked a little better? Maybe, but I mean, look what the defense did. The defense held tough throughout the game against an offense that's probably going to put up a lot of points on a lot of people. Holding them to field goals. Obviously, TCU had that one fake field goal attempt that was kind of botched from the beginning, but you look at it, Charles Woods intercepted the pass in the end zone. So even if the holder doesn't slip and hit his knee down at the very beginning of it and he's called down, the defense still makes a play there. You know, I think the touchdown late after SMU had scored, I think you maybe do feel a little better about things. If that touchdown doesn't happen. But it's all part of it. You're also looking at a TCU team that has taken some flack from the outside world of putting this series on pause. They wanted to prove something. I think you still have a coach in Sonny Dykes who wants to prove something. And they were going to go for that last touchdown. I mean, Dykes called timeout because he wanted them to review that possible safety late after that. You know, he was going to try and get as many points as they possibly could in that game. And the defense stood tall and really, I think, executed a lot of things really well. Of course, there were some slip-ups. TCU has good players. They're going to make guys miss tackles. They're going to be able to make plays. I think on TCU's first touchdown drive, I think them getting a bunch of yards on a third and long and then converting that fourth down kind of took a little bit of their will away. I think that, you know, their second touchdown was just a really, really well designed play that they hit on. You know, you look at the touchdown at the end of the third quarter, they were beat and tired. And I'm sure fatigue had a decent bit to do with the last touchdown as well. But you look at what this defense did as a whole, and you have to be really pleased and still have to think that this defense is the type of defense that can win you games that are left on your schedule, even if the offense isn't firing the way we hoped it would and still think maybe it could as the season progresses and as you maybe get into some of the games that are remaining on the schedule. So I think I understand the reactions to it. I still feel that they are a bit of some overreaction to things. I think you are still only four games into the season. You're still early with a first-time head coach who does call plays. And I think you have to put on your realistic hat with some of those things. But trust me, I've been a part of the SMU fan base since I was 10 years old. My first SMU football games were watched in the Cotton Bowl. I was at the first game in Ford Stadium. I watched basketball games at Old Moody with very few people there. Was a student at SMU covering this football team through a 6-6 season that didn't result in a bowl game, and then back-to-back 1-11 seasons. So believe me when I say I'm right there with you, but I also do think you have to take a realistic look at some of the things. And I think when you look at the schedule, you say, okay, if this offense, you know, I think you look at the Prairie View A&M game. Now, the conference isn't great, and the conference schedule isn't great, but the teams are going to be better than Prairie View A&M. But I think if the offense had looked bad against Prairie View A&M, if the defense, you know, I think you would have had a lot of realistic concerns. But, you know, they went out. The defense got a shutout. The offense put up 69 points. I mean, you obviously the special teams had a touchdown, but I mean, you saw what this offense can be, in theory, a little bit better. So, you know, I think if you see the offense perform like it did against TCU, against some of these teams, then you can maybe make those cases. I think as you're just not quite there yet. But I understand them, certainly. I know where they're coming from, and if some things continue, they can be legit arguments. But I do think you have to settle in a little bit and take things at face value a little more maybe than where we hope they would be at this point, maybe. Let's take a quick break. Don't have much to say after this, but let's pause. This is the Pony Stampede podcast, and we'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome back to the Pony Stampede podcast. Just kind of going to put a final bow on this. Look, if this season finishes at 10-2 and SMU is set to host the conference championship game, a lot of people are going to forget some of these issues and maybe some of those things that were a little nitpicky from back on September 23rd in Fort Worth. Obviously, there are 8 games coming up that have to be won to get you to that point. But I think you kind of have to take it game by game. You can't get ahead of yourself with arguments of saying, well, I mean, if they come out flat against so-and-so, or if they lose this game and then lose this game. And, you know, I think you can make those arguments if those things happen. I don't see those things happening. Again, like I mentioned earlier, I think a couple of the possible trip ups on this schedule aren't as trippy as we maybe thought they were at the beginning of the season. Coming into things, again, those teams can also improve, and you don't want to take anybody for granted. But the only game, looking at the schedule, that I think you say, man, this is one that they've got to get up for, and they've got to show show you something for is that game at Memphis. You know, there's nobody else on this schedule right now that's really looking like they should give this team a hard time. And again, I think you've got a defense that the defense will play if the offense isn't doing necessarily what it needs to do. This defense is certainly one that is built for this type of schedule. So let's not take away anybody's coaching jobs, coaching duties, any players' starting positions. You know, I understand a lot of things. I think if you want to only look at the bad, you can certainly do that, and you can certainly want some big-time changes, some big-time overhauls. But, you know, I think if you look at the positives from that TCU game, I think you really see a defense that continues to be a vast improvement over some things a year ago. Yes, they're still going to have some hiccups. Yes, really, really, really good teams like Oklahoma and TCU are still going to be able to make plays against this defense. But there aren't any of those left on the schedule. I think you see from a scheme-wise, they look better. From a talent-wise, obviously, they look better. Depth-wise, they look better. And just a lot of fundamental things that look better. Yes, there are still going to be missed tackles. Good players make you miss tackles. Again, you're not going to see that moving forward. I think a really big bright spot, Kamar Wheaton. The last couple of weeks has had an opportunity to do something in games and has certainly made the most of those opportunities. Obviously, the Prairie View A&M game with Jalen and Velton being out and LJ getting hurt early in that one gets the start and the lion's share of the carries. And then this week with LJ being hurt, even with Jalen back, Kamar still starts, still takes the bulk of the carries, gets the touchdown. I think that's a massive positive moving forward for this group, because I do think there is a ton of talent there in Kamar Wheaton. If he can just sort out some of that off the field stuff and to be able to both Preston and Isaiah Wachobia, who both have known Kamar Wheaton for a very long time, just talked about kind of seeing that joy in playing the game he loves again. And so I think if you get a Kamar Wheaton who's not worried about all of the outside stuff and can just step on the field and play some football, that is a big plus for this team moving forward in the run game. You know, that has kind of sputtered a little bit. Hopefully they get LJ back soon. Hopefully Jalen can kind of get going a little more like what was expected coming into the season. But if you've got Kamar Wheaton there that can be your consistent guy, which I think was maybe a little unexpected with what was brought in, that's only a positive for this team. I do have a new story up on PonyStampede.com about some of the offensive struggles. It's got Coach Lashley talking about some things. It calls back and expands on a Jake Bailey quote from after the Oklahoma game. It's got a couple thoughts from Preston Stone after the TCU game as it kind of looks at some of those things as far as play calling and execution and some personnel things that I think, whether you like it or not, maybe put some things into a different perspective a little bit. Obviously, don't have all the answers. That's for the coaching staff that is with these guys every day and that, you know, is at the full practices and is seeing what these guys are doing on a daily basis, if they want to make some changes at personnel spots, or if, or you know, how much they can change regarding the playbook and play call and the way they go about things. But I do think there are some quotes by Lashley that show that he's maybe open to some of those things. So, you know, I wrote it, so I definitely think it's worth a read. But I do think it give some perspective and shed some lights on things and maybe answer some questions and maybe shows kind of where the staff kind of sees things on this offense right now as it tries to get to the level we all hoped it would be. As always, we will talk to offensive coordinator Casey Woods and defensive coordinator Scott Simons, along with head coach Rhett Lashley, and some players during the week to get you ready for Saturday's conference opener against Charlotte. That will kick off at 6:30 p.m. from Ford Stadium. I will be back on after talking to those guys, after looking up Charlotte a little bit, to give you some of my perspective on the game and some things. As like I said in the last one, we're going to be a little bit more consistent on these Pony Stampede podcasts. And by we, I 100% mean me. So thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sticking with it. We will be here next time. And until then, pony up.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount+.